Life Audio.
Welcome to the Real Refreshment Podcast. Join us as we dive into motherhood at the foot of the throne with your host, Rachel Carmen. If you are tired, overwhelmed, and feeling alone, this is the place for you. A place for real moms with real stories seeking real refreshment found only in the living God. Take a minute to visit rachelcarmen.com and join the community of Real Refreshment listeners who are taking the dare to be in the Word as a top priority in the journey of motherhood. All right, let's kick off this latest episode of the Real Refreshment Podcast. Here's your host, Rachel Carmen.
Woohoo! We have made it to the end of 2022. Congratulations, listeners. Today we're going to talk about what it looks like to pack away another year. What does it look like to pack this one away to get ready for 2023? I'll be right back.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Okay, yes, it is time for you and I to do what I think is one of the hardest things I do all year. I just so enjoy decorating our home, first for the Thanksgiving season, the fall, and usually here in Charlotte, North Carolina, that means that I'm putting out fall decorations while we are still baking outside, right? It's still in the 80s, sometimes the 90s. And I'm putting out scarecrows in the front yard like, you know, some silly person anticipating a snap in the weather. But, you know, eventually it does get a little cold here. And so we have all of our fall decorations with the leaves and the pumpkins and the hay bales. And it's just so festive and so lovely. And then we rotate, or I like to rotate everything over for the Christmas season. I have a really hard and fast rule that we don't listen to Christmas music at our house until the day after Thanksgiving. And then it's a really big to-do. We break out all the music and start listening to that. And then we, you know, on the Saturday, usually after Thanksgiving, is when I get all the Christmas decorations out and we put all the fall decorations away and we pull all the Christmas trees out and we enjoy a day of singing all of the Christmas carols and all of the Christmas songs, and we get the house all set up for the Christmas season. It is a thing around here, and it is so delightful and so much fun, and we talk about where to put this and where to put that and whether or not to put this out or keep it for next year or whatever, and it is just a big to-do, and we have several little gatherings that we have at our home to enjoy all of the festivities of the season, and then the family comes in, and we celebrate Christmas, and it's so glorious and so much fun, and all the wrapping paper and everything and all the thank you and the laughter and the readings and the singing and all of the good food. And then guess what happens? Everybody goes home and we start the pickup, the post-Christmas pickup. And you know what I'm talking about, that lull after the holidays, right? So for me, especially this year, so now this being my first year of empty nest, I still have college kids home. They won't go back until the 1st of January. I think the first, maybe after the first week of January, they'll finally go back. And so we're in that post-Christmas lull, and it's time for us to pack all this away and put all of Christmas back and prepare the house now for my hardest season, which is winter, but put all the Christmas stuff away and get ready to celebrate for New Year. But before we can do that, we've got to put all of this away. Just like before you and I, I'm going to argue, can effectively step into a new year, we need to pack away 2022. And so just like when I've got all of my Christmas decorations and I'm trying to get them all put away, it's so difficult. I mean, putting away is not getting out, right? And so when I'm getting ready and putting all the decorations out, I am just so excited and so enthusiastic and have all of this energy. But if you're anything like me, putting it away, I don't have the enthusiasm and the excitement and the energy that I had getting everything out. And I want to just put it all away and just be done with it, right? But I'm going to suggest to you that it is more beneficial to me when I deliberately, slowly, and discriminately put all of those decorations away. Because when I do it deliberately, I'm doing it intentionally. In other words, I'm going to be able to find things next year. There have been a few things that I have just years I've just rushed to put things away, and then I could never find anything the next year, right? And if I rush and I just do it as fast as I can instead of taking my time, things get misplaced, things get broken. And if I do it indiscriminately, I put things away that I need to not keep, that I need to just throw away because they're broken or I'm not using them anymore or whatever. And I'm going to suggest that those are the same three things that it would be helpful for us to do as we think back on 2022, that we do so deliberately, that we do so slowly, and that we do so discriminately. Look, some years, we're all anxious to pack away. They're just tough. They're hard. They're wrought with obstacles and challenges and loss and frustration and pain. And we just want to pack it away and we just want to get on to the next year. We are not sad to see some years in our rear view mirrors. I know that you've had that year. I know I've had that year. Sometimes we're sad to see years go, years that have been filled with celebration and excitement, new life, new opportunity. And we don't want to let those years go, right? And then there are other years that are just a mix of the two, really, truly bittersweet. But no matter what kind of year 2022 has been for you, I really want to challenge you to deliberately, slowly, and discriminately pack it away. Not rushed, not trying to just get it done to get it done, not putting things away that you need to not keep, but literally doing it very purposefully. And in that light, I want to take us to Philippians chapter 3. In the book of Philippians, the theme of this book is joy. And it's written by the Apostle Paul, who had a lot of reasons not to be joyful, but throughout this book, he calls and commands and admonishes his readers to rejoice in the Lord over and over and over and over. In chapter 3 of Philippians, my Bible has titled this chapter, The Goal of Life. And so if we're going to talk about packing away a year and looking forward to another year, I thought it might be good for us to look at what the Apostle Paul did for that. What was his goal in life? How did he look behind and ahead? How did he do that? And what can we learn from what he encourages us to do in chapter 3 of Philippians? Now, I'm not going to take the time to read the entire chapter to you, but I do hope you'll take time to read it yourself. We're just going to go over a few highlights and see what we can glean from what the Apostle Paul writes to us in this book. So right here in the very beginning, verses 1 through 3, there are three things that the Apostle Paul tells you and I to do, his readers to do, just right off the bat. Number one, in verse 1, he says, and I said this a moment ago, rejoice in the Lord. Look, wherever you and I find ourselves today, there is always one thing that we can do that is for God's glory and for our good, and that is rejoicing in Him. You and I can do that, like Paul, from a prison cell, from a valley, from a tight spot, from a frustration, or we can do it on top of a mountain. Rejoicing in the Lord is always a good thing to do. And right here at the beginning of chapter 3 in Philippians, that's the first thing that Paul encourages and admonishes you and I to do. And I'm going to tell you, as we look to pack away 2022, as we look ahead to 2023, we need to be those people who are rejoicing in the Lord. Secondly, in verse 2, he says, beware. And in this verse, he lists out three things that we need to beware of. And at the end of the day, what he's saying is we need to be aware that there are dogs that will intimidate us. Those people, circumstances that just nip at our heels constantly. There will be people, number 2, who do evil things. We need to be aware of that. And number 3, there will be things that are deceptive practices that will lurk and tempt us. And Paul says right here in chapter 2 of verse 2 of chapter 3, we need to be aware of that. In other words, don't be ignorant. Beware. These things are out there. And you need to be aware of them. And number 3, the third thing he tells us to do in verse 3 is put no confidence in your flesh. In other words, he says to us, to you and to me, look, don't think that you can do what you need to do. Don't think that you can bridge this gap, this chasm of sin that separates you from the Father. Don't think that you can do that because you can't. You can't do that. And we'll pick it up right there when we come back.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, picking up in verse 4, Paul has just told us that we should not put our confidence in our ability and what we've already accomplished, what we've already done. Because here now in verses 4 through 6, he gives us his resume. Paul goes, look, I did. Once upon a time, I put confidence in my flesh. Once upon a time, I thought it was all about what I, Paul, was doing. And look, let me tell you, I had it going on. I had all of these things, and you can read verses 4 through 6, and you can read all of the things. And I'm here to tell you, it's impressive resume. It's impressive. And Paul continues in verse 7, going three times in verses 7, 8, and I think it's 9. Paul talks, let me check, I'm double checking. Three times in verses 7 and 8. Paul talks about all of these remarkable accomplishments that he had, his resume. He counts it all a loss. Loss, loss, loss. Worthless. Like rubbish, he says. None of that means anything to me. I let it all go. It's worthless to me, Paul says. So that I may gain Christ. Yet, so don't miss this. Paul is hyper-focused. He's hyper-focused. He says, essentially, I was distracted thinking I had to build my resume, thinking I had to do all the right things. I had to do all the right things. That's what he was distracted by. And he did a lot of really remarkable, impressive things. But after his encounter with the Lord Christ on the road to Damascus, he's like, whoa, none of that matters. None of that matters. His focus becomes hyper laser focused on gaining Christ. Picking up in verse 9, he says, so that I may gain Christ. To have Christ as master and Lord. And second, he says, to be found in him, associated with him, part of him. Paul says, this is it. This is it. Not building my resume, not doing these things. It's to gain Christ and be found in him. Not my righteousness. He's very quick to make sure we understand. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. But, Paul says, it's through faith in Christ. In other words, Paul says, once upon a time, I was putting my confidence in what I could do, what I had done, what I would accomplish, right? And he's like, yeah, but no. Now it's my confidence in Christ, in his finished work on Calvary, in his sacrifice, in my sin debt paid by the perfect Lamb of God. That's where my faith is. And my faith, he continues on in verse 9, he continues on, and that faith, oh, that faith I got from God. It was a gift of God. Verse 10, he says, so first that he may gain Christ, that he may be found in Christ. Next, that he may know him, that he may know him. You and me have the opportunity to know him. To know him as the Son of God, as Messiah. And next, to know the power of his resurrection. Do you know that Jesus defeated death on the third day he rose again? Defeating death. And that same death defeat is made yours and mine when we place our faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. We have the power of resurrection available to us, death's defeat, through the person of Jesus Christ. He continues in the last part of verse 10, that we may, get this now, this is the hard part. All that sounds great, right? Gaining Christ, being found in Christ, knowing Christ, having the power of his resurrection. Those four sound glorious, right? But get this. There are two more, that I may share in his suffering. Share in his suffering. Be like him next in his death. So what's that look like? That I share in his suffering, in his mocking, in his persecution, in his mistreatment. Right? Remember that Jesus told his disciples in the upper room discourse in the last part of the book of John. John is the only one that records the upper room discourse. He says, get this, he's talking to his disciples and he says, you need to know you will be hated because they hated me. They hated me. If you remember back in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Jesus knew that you and I would be hated, mistreated, mocked, misunderstood, maligned. Why? Because of him. Because our faith in him. And Paul here says, look, count me in. I want to share in those sufferings. I want to be so like him, to understand him, to be found in him, such that I share in those sufferings because of my close association with him. Yeah, that's part of Paul's goal. But it goes on. He says, I want to share in his death. I want to die to me, Paul says. Paul is making a statement here that just like Jesus died for me. I want to be willing to die for him. And Jesus died on the cruel cross of Calvary. And Paul's like, count me in. And we've already seen from Paul that all of those accomplishments, all of those things that he did, he's counting them loss. He's dying to that, to his reputation, to his former life. Paul says, it's meaningless to me to gain Christ, to gain Christ. Then he continues and he assures readers, you and me, he says, now just to be clear, I haven't attained this yet. I don't have hold of this yet. I'm talking about what I want. This is what I'm trying to lay hold of. I'm trying to lay hold of Christ. I'm trying. This is what I'm trying to get at. This is what I'm living to take hold of. But I don't have it yet. But, he says in verse 13, one thing I do, and it's interesting, he says here in this passage, but one thing I do. Then in verse 13, Paul says, but one thing I do. Then he tells two things that he does, but he unites them saying, in a sense, that these two things must be done together as one. Okay, so hang with me just a minute. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I strain forward. Okay, so there's two different things, right? But Paul is uniting them in this passage as one thing. You got to forget and you got to strain. That's one thing, it's not two. In other words, what I'm understanding from this is it's not enough just to forget. You got to strain forward. Not just forget what's behind. You got to go somewhere, right? If you just forget what's behind, but you don't move, that's not what he's talking about. And if you just strain forward, but you keep holding on to what's in your past, that's not it either. Paul is saying you've got to forget what's behind and strain forward. In other words, he's saying, don't get stuck in your past. Don't waller in it. Look, the enemy wants you to get stuck. And I will confess to you freely today, it is often tempting to get stuck, to just give in to the muck and the mire and just not move forward anymore. Sometimes it's just would be easier, right? And Paul's like, yeah, no, don't do that. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Move forward. Strain forward. Go forward. Then he says in verse 14, I press on. I press on. In other words, Paul is saying, I am going to do the next right thing. I'm going to move forward. I love that phrase from Elizabeth Elliot. Do the next thing. Do the next right thing. Paul is admonishing you and me here to persevere, to keep on doing the next right thing, to persist. In other words, don't stop doing the next right thing. He is calling you and me to progress onward and upward. Onward and upward. And here in the last part of verse 14, Paul says this. He is pressing on toward the goal, the prize, heavenward. That's it. That's it. As you and I are looking to pack up 2022, another year, and I don't know what yours has been like, the good, bad, and the ugly, the awesome, the awful. I don't know what it's looked like for you. You and I have got to make sure that packing up whatever it is, whatever it's been, right? We've got to make sure that we keep our focus going forward. We've got to make sure that we're forgetting what's behind and we're straining forward toward the goal, that we are pressing on, that we are determined to persevere, to persist, and to make progress onward and upward toward the goal of gaining Christ. That's the whole point. That is the whole point. That's what the point was of 2022. If it got missed by you, by me, in the swirling circumstances and situations and obstacles and trials and tribulations, right? Or celebrations and excitement. If it got lost in the swirl, Paul here is jumping up down to remind us what it's got to be as we look to go forward. I want to encourage you now, we've just looked at Philippians 3, flip back in your Bible over to Psalms 103. Because again, we've got to make sure as we're packing up that it's not, our focus is not on us. It's not on us. And I think as we look to pack up, we need to make sure, just like Paul was admonishing us, to look up, onward towards the prize. Focus up, Paul is saying. Here we have the psalmist in the Old Testament, specifically in this instance, a psalm of David, Psalm 103. And this is entitled, in my Bible at least, Praise for the Lord's Mercies. So as you're considering packing up 2022, I want to challenge you to read Psalm 103 in light of packing up. As you're considering what we were talking about earlier, all of those things that you've got to go with, all those ornaments, all of those decorations for Christmas. Remember, we're going to be deliberate. We're going to take our time and go slowly. And we're going to be discriminatory. What are we going to keep? What are we going to share? What are we going to give? What are we going to toss, right? What are we going to do with whatever 2022 was? What are we going to do with it, right? I'm going to suggest to you that using Psalm 103 as a frame is a really good thing. Make sure we're focused up. Let's listen as I read just a few verses. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. As we look to pack up 2022, the psalmist here, David specifically, encourages us, admonishes us. Don't forget the benefits of God. Don't forget all that he has done for you. If indeed this last year has been one of those that you are not sad to see go, I get it. I totally get it. I get it more than I wish I did, right? Right. If it's that, God is still good. His mercies are still new every morning. He still sits on the throne. He is still sovereign. And the psalmist David here says, don't forget his benefits, his pardon for iniquity, his healing for disease, his redemption from the pit that you and I deserve, our Savior. Don't forget his crown of loving kindness and compassion. And don't forget that he is your satisfaction, that he never denies you good things. Don't forget, David writes. And you and I, as we're looking to pack up 2022, we must make sure that we remember. Just a few other things just scattered in my notes here. We must remember his pardon, his healing, his redemption, and his crown, his mercy, his love, his righteous deeds and judgment, his ways and his acts, the instances wherein, as we review 2022, the instances wherein he's been compassionate. He has seen our circumstance, our pain, our frustration, and he has acted on our behalf. We need to make sure that we remember the instances wherein he has been gracious to us beyond what we could ask or imagine. When he has been slow to anger, when he has been patient with us, we need to remember the instances wherein we have experienced his abounding and steadfast love. We need to remember, according to verse 9 and 10 of Psalm 103, that he has not given us what we deserve. He has not given us what we deserve. We need to know that his love is beyond the heavens for those who fear him. We need to know that he has remembered our transgressions no more. No more. As far as the east is from the west, we must remember that he has compassion on those who fear him. That he knows that we're dust, that we're like grass, that we're like flowers. But his steadfast love, in contrast to our grassness and our flowerness that withers and fades and is gone with the wind, he assures us in this psalm that his steadfast love and righteousness is everlasting. It does not fade. It does not wither. And we need to remember the importance. As those who claim to fear him, we are encouraged and admonished in this psalm to keep his covenants, to remember his precepts, and to obey him. To obey him. At the end of this psalm, it ends like it began. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. I don't know how you began 2022, but I want to encourage you, like this psalm, to wrap it up blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. In other words, no matter what has transpired, no matter what has happened, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the things that you thought were fabulous and the things that you thought were horrible, the places you saw him clearly and the places you can't make him out, right? We've all got them. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So getting back to the analogy of packing up those Christmas decorations, as we're looking at things to keep, we need to hold on to some things and remember his goodness, the ways in which he provided for us in ways we could never have imagined, never have predicted. And we need to realize that in some instances, we need to keep on waiting on him, on his will, on his way. Sometimes you and I want things our way and at our time, and that's just not the way he works. And so we keep on holding on and waiting. Some things will be a holdover to 2023, but we wait with confidence. We wait with hope. We know that he knows. We know that he cares. And we know that he acts on the behalf of his beloved. So some things we're going to keep, some things we're going to give and we're going to share. We're going to testify of his faithfulness to friends, to kids, to our community. And we're going to remind others of his love. We're going to remind them of his love over and over and over, his infinite steadfast love. And finally, though, there are going to be some things we're going to need to leave behind, like failures and mistakes. Here's something I learned a while ago. Mistakes are only wasted when we don't learn from them. So when you and I mess up, and we do mess up regularly, consistently, unfortunately, it's only a waste if we don't learn from it, if we don't give it to him. And we begin by acknowledging our mistake. Don't deny it. Acknowledge it. When you've messed up, when you've sinned, when you've rebelled, when you've run away, acknowledge it. Don't deny it. Be honest about it. Secondly, repent of it. Don't rationalize it. Don't make excuses. When you've messed up, when I've messed up, the best thing we can do is tell God how sorry we are. Own it. Lock, stock, and barrel. Total ownership. Yeah, I did that. And practice some humility. And sometimes that goes beyond just God and includes other people. Finally, when we find we've messed up, made a big mistake out of things, blown it, right? usually out of arrogance and selfishness and pride, usually. We've got to submit to him and not resist him. Submit and not resist. And we need to do that heartily. So we're going to be honest in our acknowledgement, humble in our repentance, and hearty in our submission. That's what we do when we make mistakes. And that's how it is that they're not wasted. If we choose not to do any of those things, we just ignore that we've messed something up, and we hope everybody else will ignore them, all of our mistakes, then it is wasted, right? Because we've not allowed him to use it and redeem it as only he can. Listen, let's review the goal here at the end as Paul laid it out for us. As Paul laid it out for us in Philippians 3, you can go back again and study it for yourself. Paul says to gain Christ, to be found in Christ, to know Christ, to share in his sufferings and in his death in hope of his resurrection. This packing up of 2022 is like a huge, massive decluttering project, but it makes room for all things new in 2023. And that's where I will meet you next time. We're going to launch a whole new, brand new M&M series called Abiding in the Psalms. We're going to do a psalm every month in 2023. We have all new and expanded studies and series, Q&A episodes, book reviews, and interviews with other moms just like you, who are going to share with you and with me the goodness, the provision, the faithfulness, and the remarkable love of God. I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for joining today.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to send it to info@rachelcarmen.com. And while you're at Rachel's website, check out her wonderful resources, including the Word in Motion Bible Curriculum. We want to take a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the podcast. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. Moms, more than ever, we really do need each other. We need to be challenged, and we need accountability in the Word. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the Real Refreshment Podcast.
It's a crazy world out there, moms and dads. I'm Catherine Seegers, host of Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.